Hey guys, welcome to All the Things with Shirley Hagel. This is Shirley Hagel. How are you? I hope you're having a great week. Today on the podcast is one of my longest New York people, I realized. My chiropractor, Dr. Craig Fischel. Hey, Doc.
Hey, how's it going today?
Good. How are you?
Excellent.
I need to get my pen out of this notebook and it's stuck. Okay, so Dr. Fischel and I cut his hair, then he adjusted me. Actually, we did that in reverse. It's a really great thing we have going. I feel like on Thursday mornings once a month.
It's a beautiful thing. Started what?
December of 2012. It's almost our anniversary. I met you in December of 2012. I moved to New York in October of 2012. And so you're one of my longest New York relationships, which is awesome. So I want to start this whole thing quickly before I let you talk too much and give my,
what are you trying to say?
Well, I feel like once you get going, it's going to be really good. No. Okay. So I want to start this whole thing by talking about how I came to you in the first place and what my history with chiropractic is. And then I want to ask you a bunch of questions about chiropractic because I feel like people have a lot of questions. And I think people that don't know about it can be skeptical sometimes. Do you feel like that?
I do.
Okay. So when I was 15, I was shopping with my sister in a Belk of all places, and I was in the changing room and I bent down to put my shoe back on and I couldn't stand back up. Basically, I was like stuck and I was only 15. So that's not that normal. And so I like hobble to my car, she drives me to my mom's house, who's having, I feel like, Bible study at the time. She definitely had a group of women like in her living room. And here comes her like 15-year-old daughter, like crooked. And I couldn't sit. I couldn't stand. Literally everything hurt. So I went to all the types of doctors that you go to. And I had the MRI, the x-ray, the blah, 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 blah. And then thankfully my mom was into chiropractic. So I ended up there. And he basically told me, well, anyways, he was the thing that made me better. But he also told me that I was probably going to have like chronic back things. Anyways, long story short, fast forward to 2012, you all know I'm a hairstylist. I was doing hair and for like a solid month, I was getting this like pinching in my shoulder blade. And it got to the point where I was like, I couldn't do a blowout because I was blowing out someone's hair and I was in excruciating pain. And so a friend of mine, her dad, before he passed, was a chiropractor, and he knew you, which I don't feel like you ever remembered who he was because I told you this when I first met you. And so it's very weird to me how I was connected to you because you don't even remember this
kind of
person.
Cosmic in a way.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
So that happened, and now I've been seeing you regularly, and this is the longest stretch of my life that I have not had problems.
All right.
Anyways, okay, so that's my deal. So let's talk about you. How did you get into being a chiropractor? Like, what was the journey?
Yeah, the journey, not too dissimilar to when you first were reaching out when you were back at 15. I grew up playing every sport. If there was a ball involved, I played football, basketball, baseball, high school. The one that I showed the most promise for was baseball. And I carried on into the college level. And at 19 years old, if you can imagine, you see it today, but back then it wasn't as widespread where kids are hitting indoors in the Northeast and around the country where they're in these tunnels and they're these little indoor batting cages, swing after swing after swing, about 500 a day we would do in college. And
wow.
It was a January. I took a swing and buckled to the ground and saw lightning bolt stars. If you've ever bent your head and seen that black and blue stars in your head.
I don't feel like I've ever had
Yeah,
that.
Thankfully you didn't. And I couldn't feel the legs, like the feeling went out. So, and there was a shriek that came out of me, like a scream. And I had back pain, massive back pain, and was told at that time by the orthopedic surgeon that I had to shut it down, most likely for the entire season. And at 19 years old, when you hear that, you say, what?
Yeah.
I felt at that time I could run through a brick wall.
Mm-hmm.
Although the lifestyle I was living was not, I think athletes today know so much more, but even so, you think you're impervious, that you can get away with everything. I did not eat well. I did not do regular exercise other than the athletics, and never walked into a chiropractic office until I said to the orthopedic trainer, I said, hey, can I go to a chiropractor? What do you think? I knew guys that were playing professional baseball. That was like a thing, but it was very fringe.
Okay, and that was going to be my next question. What made you think chiropractor? Okay.
Yeah, you know, what it had made me think was I drove by a chiropractor every day on Washington Avenue in downtown Albany. And that was in my head. Plus, as a kid, I had been told for other reasons, nothing to do with my spine, which we're going to get into today, to go see a chiropractor. And the orthopedic said, you know, it can't hurt you. That was his response to me, which wasn't promising like it's going to help me, but he said it can't hurt.
Yeah.
So I went and got what we now know was a chiropractic adjustment, probably for the wrong reasons, I'll say, because we advocate that one gets checked for subluxations, which is a fun word. We advocate that someone, you know, the reality is the chiropractor told me your body heals itself. We just have to remove the interference. And the interference at that time was overuse in the physical sense. And the mechanical parts of my spine weren't working well. They were overused. They were worn out. And I received on a Wednesday, a Thursday, a Friday, three chiropractic adjustments. I was back playing ball Saturday. There was no way I was sitting out a season. And here we are today where I've been getting adjusted since. Now, that chiropractor told me something very special. He said, when you're serious about your health, you'll come back.
So that actually leads me to something that I feel like people say a lot. They say, oh, when you go to a chiropractor, that just means you have to keep going. And I feel like you have a good response to this because I feel like you've said it before. So what do you say to that person?
A couple of different things. Hopefully things that you like in your lifestyle that are good for you, you're going to keep doing for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
The examples would be the running that I know you do, the exercise in general, the healthy eating. You don't just go to the gym when you're feeling out of shape only. You do that as a lifestyle. Chiropractic in today's world is part of a healthy lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
We are in the USA, the number one most visited alternative, which is a difficult word for me because I want us mainstreamed. I don't want to be alternative to anything. I want people to have the best of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And chiropractic is part of that best of the healthy lifestyle doctors.
Totally. And to your point about the gym example, which I love, if you do only go to the gym when you're feeling out of shape, are you ever going to get in shape? No, you're not. You have to.
A lot of starting and stopping in that mindset. The same thing with the eating. So, you know, this isn't like a chapstick situation where once you start using it, your lips aren't getting healthy.
Right.
You're not getting good nutrition to your lips or hydration. It's
totally.
This is something we want to do. And, you know, the nervous system is what chiropractors are focused on.
Mm-hmm.
The spine itself, the hard bony outer shell, protects the nervous system that's inside of it. And when your spine is properly functioning,
mm-hmm.
your nervous system will also function at its highest God-given level.
Yeah. So you've already mentioned an adjustment. Can you tell us what that is?
Yeah.
And what
yeah.
that looks like?
Yeah, that is, there are many different chiropractic techniques that utilize the term adjustment. And the simplest way is the vertebrae, and there are 24 movable vertebrae. They can move out of position collectively or one at a time. But the most common would be the entire forward head that we see. So think of today's children who grow up on screens and their head has started to drift forward. We look to take that forward head that we know is a subluxation or a misalignment and move it back on the entirety of the body. So looking at the head and thinking of a bowling ball being about 10 to 12 pounds,
mm-hmm.
when that is up over the body can support it. It can hold it. This is a very mechanical view of that, where if that head goes forward and all day is happening, where a kid is now going from his screen into the books at school, then back home with a 30-pound backpack, you can see what that might do to the functioning of the spine. So we put it back in position. That's the simple. The adjustment, there are many different techniques. Some doctors like to use small instruments. They call themselves instrument adjusters. One is called an activator, is the most prominent one that's well used. I use a corrective technique, which uses the hand, but also we do rehabilitation. We do strengthening to mold that spine back into position. And we like to look at ourselves as vitalists, as not only mechanists or someone who's working with the mechanics of the outside, but also for the physiology of the body, with how it works.
So when someone feels like, okay, so another thing that I'm asking you all the hard questions people ask
Great.
Me. So that
yeah, I want to get into the skeptic maybe that's out there.
Yeah, for sure.
That's listening.
So when people say how do I word it? That they feel like it's just cracking your back or whatever.
Yeah.
And there is a sound, right? Sometimes happens really, right? What's actually happening there?
I'm going to get my knuckle close to the mic stand.
Good.
And give a little,
little
pop for everybody.
Yeah.
So we can do that to multiple joints in our body. You can do that at your knee. Sometimes if you're stretching out underneath the table, you get a nice pop like that.
Oh, yeah, I heard it.
And the sound is what's called synovial fluid. There is a joint capsule that surrounds every synovial joint, which the spinal joints are. And that release of that fluid makes like a champagne bubble kind of popping.
Got it.
It releases. Now that fluid getting a recharge or actually refilling helps bring an immune function into the areas. White blood cells start spilling into the spinal cavity through the cerebral spinal fluid. And that's healthy. That's good nutrition, not in the form of food, but in the form of how our body's natural fluids will flow. And the spinal fluid coming from the brain surrounding the spinal cord, I call it electric juice. Just a way of visualizing that this stuff supplies everything we need. It's the way we can speak so quickly and process the things we're saying. That popping might scare someone. Mm-hmm. And it might have happened to them where they turned their head quickly. Even putting their head back in like a nice hair salon to the into that uncomfortable neck position where, of course, I know you use a towel to support it, and a lot of salons do. But
yeah.
you can imagine that sound could scare someone if we didn't pre-frame them and say, hey, what I'm going to do now is rotate the middle part of your spine. You're going to feel it even more than you hear it. The neck, the cervical spine adjustment, it's a vulnerable spot. So comfort level for an individual who, there are some doctors out there that might not have explained it well. There are some who definitely over-explain it. So somewhere in the middle is the best to create an expectation. And that's what I look to do with every person I've ever provided a chiropractic adjustment to.
Yeah, totally. So I feel like we covered, I don't want to spend any more time on skeptics, but I felt like we needed to like address those things. Let's talk about what all the benefits are, because it's way more than just your back.
Yeah.
It's everything.
So I touched on this earlier, that doc who said to me, hey, when you're serious about your health, you'll come back. And I kind of gave him that, you know, sideways, you know, head look where the dog looks back at you going, what is this guy talking about? And, you know, at 19, I'm like, man, I could run through a brick wall. I'm good now. You know, hey, I feel good. And I get that a lot when people say they're healthy. I was nowhere near healthy. My lifestyle at the time was I lived on a bronchial inhaler from the time I was 8 to 9 years old. Everyone in my family has about 3 inches on me in height. I'm 5'10", the average height. My brothers were 6'1". And that was completely from cortisone use of the inhalants that I was taking. So I had already had a weakened health condition. I was a very unhealthy kid. I was sick all the time, had flus, and anytime I had a little wheeze, asthma breathing, it turned into bronchitis or pneumonia. And that doc was able to sense this kind of breathing trouble right away. And what he was really saying is, if you can get your nervous system functioning well, the physical, which we knew we had problems because of the baseball injury, he was saying I needed to get my chemistry in check, my good things from my natural environment, not only the food we eat, but if we can reduce and eliminate medicine, that's where he was focusing. He said, you know, bring in all your medicine. And this is a very old school way of doctors doing things in the alternative world, where you bring in a bag of everything that you take. And at that time, I was taking a lot of over-the-counters and several prescriptions. So imagine 19 and fast forward, you know, I'm 48 years old. So the first 20 plus years of my life, I was on medicines that were really not saving my life. Mm-hmm. They weren't making my health better. And mm-hmm. it was part of the lifestyle. And going back to, I was going to have to take them for the rest of my life.
Right.
So forget about going to the chiropractor for the rest of my life. I was going to do something that I knew was debilitating to my health
yeah.
the rest of my life. And I started some lifestyle changes right then and there. And what we knew in 1989, 90, back then, mm-hmm. we know so much more now, and there's much more coming down the road.
Yeah.
So that's what the benefit was for me, because the lifestyle, when you see your mainstream physician, you're going maybe once a year.
Yeah.
We see people frequently, and it becomes a much more intimate relationship. So the benefit on the physical is easy. You're going to move better. We see athletes, over 80% of the PGA Tour is now under chiropractic care, Major League Baseball, NFL. Every NFL team has one or more chiropractors on staff. Mm-hmm. So the benefit is not only for the weekend warrior and athlete, it's for someone who is looking to get healthier.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of times with, well, I shouldn't brag about this, but you're the only doctor I see on a regular basis.
Well, we're talking candidly. We know you just had your blood work done, and I'll be clear to say that, going back to that alternative versus mainstream thing, we want to be part of your team. We're not yeah. saying that you should shirk or shrug off and not go to those other doctors and professionals, because we each have a discipline that we're trained in.
Totally. Well, and I feel like a lot of times the, like, mainstream, and I'm doing quotes, mm-hmm. doctor, a lot of it's focused around like how to get better when there's something already wrong. But I feel like seeing you regularly just helps me prevent something from being wrong.
Yeah.
Like, I rarely come here with an issue at this point. Like, sure, I might be a little wonky because I carry heavy bags every day and I'm on my feet all the time, but there's never like an issue anymore. And I feel like that is because I see you regularly.
Yeah. And the in-between is what's more important than that visit as well. You know, going to your mainstream physician, and they could be the greatest doctor in the world. You pee in a cup, they draw some blood, they run it through the lab testing. And if everything comes back, hopefully good and outside, not outside of those ranges, you might be told you're healthy. You might be saying, okay, you don't have a sickness, you don't have a dis-ease, your body is. But in the approach that we look at is, how are you arriving at those results? If mm-hmm. if you're doing things that would create poor results, but you're getting good results, doesn't mean we're healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So we look at those in-betweens of, someone tells me, hey, I haven't had back pain. And whoop, great, I'm happy to hear that your body's not expressing symptoms
mm-hmm.
yet. I know with you in particular, you're a runner, you're a serious runner, you're on your feet all day in not the greatest positions, taking care of mm-hmm. someone's beauty. And as a result, you're not always in the best position to take care of yourself. So that would in itself be the reason to come with regularity.
Totally.
So that we're not waiting for that crisis level. That crisis level were great, mm-hmm. but really we're no better other than, we're not putting chemistry in your body, than say ice, rest, or Advil mm-hmm. for symptoms. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't want anybody doing Advil mm-hmm. and waiting until they're hurt.
Yeah, yeah. So what's your, like, because I feel you obviously want people to come when they're in pain. And I feel like we maybe just talked about this a little bit, but what's your, like, coming when you're in pain versus coming when you're not in pain philosophy?
Yeah, like, as an only, we're going to take care of someone, and my colleagues will as well. Our job and our oath is to help someone in need.
Yeah.
Yet the person who is really succeeding in their health is looking at their entirety.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, they're looking at their whole, and that word holistic sometimes has this mysticism to it. We sound like somebody who eats granola only, but you know, holism means you're looking at your entire function and how well you're taking care of yourself. So yeah, I seek out someone who is in the middle, beginning of a health change.
Mm-hmm.
You were definitely that example. That's mm-hmm. where you were in our life when we met.
Totally.
Yet, yeah, we'll help you when you're symptomatic, and we'll adjust you every time your your symptoms are expressing, but that's not what chiropractic does. Chiropractic allows the body's innate ability, its own ability to heal, to be released. With that, the symptoms in each person are going to be different. So when someone says, oh, you adjusted me on Wednesday, I felt okay Wednesday, but Thursday I was back, in symptoms and I couldn't sit and I had trouble. So I'm going to go to my quote unquote doctor. I'm going to go to my physician. And I said, great, you're going to get some chemistry. We're going to get some symptom relief. Well, let's get back to the reality is your body still is expressing symptoms for a reason. Sometimes those symptoms are good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Symptoms, I feel like, probably are always good, right? Because they're telling you something's out of whack.
You bet. And think about when you have a fever, your body's boiling up so that it can cool back down to its normal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's killing whatever's in you.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel great.
Yeah.
It's the same way when somebody walks in here with their leg tingling, mm-hmm. and they say, Doc, can I go running tomorrow? I popped 3 Advil so I can go running. I took an Aleve. I took a Dohn's bag. I don't know if Dohn's is around anymore.
I don't know what that is.
It's a back pill. Oh. It's basically like an Advil. And ultimately, shutting the body off when it's trying to scream at you is not the greatest idea. That's why we work with the body.
Right. Wait, I want to talk about your kids for a second because I always like that you adjust them.
Yes.
So when was the first time you adjusted them?
We say from the womb to the tomb. So, mm-hmm. When my wife Tracy was pregnant with our now 15-year-old Lily, I was adjusting Tracy through that process. And God bless her, she did a natural delivery.
Yeah.
Which is part of that lifestyle. And so right when I was first able to hold Lily and support her body with my hands, we gave her a pediatric chiropractic check for the alignment.
Uh-huh.
Because the actual delivery process can sometimes be slightly traumatic to a newborn. Less traumatic in the natural than, and this is a hot button controversy out there whenever I've spoken public about it, versus things like C-sections or unnatural delivery where the body is not allowed to do what it can do.
But
a pregnant mother knows innately what to do to deliver.
Yeah.
And when Lily, was first born, we checked her right away and she got checked every week for her whole life. She's been under regular care.
Wow.
So what's going to be going on in her health comparative to my 19-year-old self?
Yeah. It's different,
Yeah, and Ben, who is our 12-year-old, was the same exact thing. And his birth was even easier than Lily's, which if you can imagine, as far as labor time and everything that went on. So we advocate. I work with a chiropractor, Dr. Shelby, who is a pediatric specialist now. So while I had the general knowledge and had adjusted children all through school and learned, she has a proficiency in that through the International Chiropractic Pediatrician.
I didn't know that, and I do her hair.
Yes.
didn't know she was specialized
She is,
in that.
And so
cool.
That for pregnancy, research is the current thing that's hot in healthcare.
Yeah.
Looking at the research on this particular subject of pediatric chiropractic is unbelievable with what you see.
Yeah.
Not only for the children, but also for the pregnant mom or someone who's looking to become pregnant.
Yeah.
So families, from the womb to the tomb, as we say.
Do you see differences in your kids' health, obviously, than yours when you were a kid or no?
No doubt.
I mean,
I tried to explain to my kids, that we were like the plastic era, my generation, Tang, which was this like fruit juice stuff, but the astronauts drank, the plastic. We thought if it came in a chemical, it was better for you.
Yeah.
So my, I was a latchkey kid, came home, fed myself, one of that generation. And so these guys are, they know the difference between organic and inorganic.
Oh, that's
true. They understand healthier foods. They understand. It's thank goodness it's being taught at an early age as well from the scholastic level. So there is some good, we live in a part of the country where there's a lot more focus on it than certain areas, and hopefully the rest of the world will come around soon.
Yeah, totally. All right. So I feel like we talk about this a lot. We're switching gears sort of. Obviously, it'll all come back to this, but what's inspiring you right now? What are you reading or listening to?
Oh, wow. So I'm a patron of my own kind of arts, if you will. I love music.
Yes.
And I'm always inspired by musicians of yesterday and today. So even this morning, I listened to a recording of Lady Gaga. I just think she's
nice.
She's badass. I think she's so cool.
Yeah.
Listened to her getting interviewed, and I heard her sing, you know, in a different style than, you know, you're used to hearing her. I also, Bruce Springsteen, I listened to his book on audio. It was like spoken word.
Oh.
And so if there's anybody out there who has, you know, 18 hours of time, I didn't do it in all in one shot, but listening to his storytelling, I understand I wasn't ready to drop $1,500 on Broadway to see him.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I just watched something about these artists. It's called The Price of Everything. What a great, it was, on Showtime. It was this, great documentary. I love documentaries about these artists, mostly in the New York scene, that were modern artists, are modern artists, and their value is so hard to depict. And somebody said, you know, people can pay for certain things, but they don't value always what they pay for. And I thought that was just a profound way of an artist talking about their work, that somebody's trying to put a value on something that they bled into and that they put. So then in health, what I'm really inspired by is the cutting edge. I'm always looking at what's going on the cutting edge. And
yeah.
in my own, so I seek out for myself that edge, and then I look to see, not that I'm a test case study, but I want to see what happens. And right now I'm eating cleaner than I ever have.
Yeah.
So that, and I'm inspired by people who can make that change. And I think 1 out of 20, which is 5%, can do what I'm doing right now, with an inspiration. So I'm eating, the protein sources are grass-fed on the beef side, free-range organic on the poultry side, and wild-caught deep-water fattier fishes like your mackerels and salmons right now. That's my protein source. And then green vegetable.
Yeah.
No nightshades, which cause inflammation. I am eating...
Wait, what's that?
Yeah, nightshades are your eggplants and peppers, your darker... So these things, yeah, I love the face you're making. You're like, what are you talking
brand
about?
Brand new information.
Yeah, so
to me.
I'm eating as if an inflammatory condition was occurring in my body.
Oh, okay.
So someone who would come in and say they had rheumatoid arthritis or HIV or cancer, things that cause low immunity in the health, I'm eating that way, although I have none of those conditions.
Got it.
Yet blood markers that I ran at this cutting edge, I did 20 vials of blood out of my own body about 6 weeks ago.
Wait, on yourself?
I had someone draw it, obviously. I had a phlebotomist in a blood lab at the say-so of my current cutting-edge functional medicine doctor, because I'm looking to launch a functional medicine program, but I wanted to learn it from the inside out. I wanted to learn it on myself and see what the results were.
My best friend has seen a functional.
Yeah, so we're looking in 2019 to actually launch that, but I don't do things wee-nilly. I am going to do it with the best of the best, and we're,
oh my God, I love
so I'm training with this doctor myself to get this understanding of how it works. So really looking at inflammatory markers that exist in our body.
Yeah.
And what that does, and I will tell you that energetically, physically, things like the simple aches and pains that happen for my everyday, listen, I'm under the best care there can be.
Mm-hmm.
And I still have your everyday things that
totally.
I haven't had those since we started eating this way. Mucus levels, you know, things in my own system, you know, my health has never been better. So in health, that's inspiring right now.
Yeah.
And
well, wait, before you go
yeah.
on, I want to go back to something really quick. So, because you said something about inflammation.
Sure.
And I feel like there's always talk of like, this is anti-inflammatory and I'm doing all these, I'm doing all of these things.
Right.
Like I take CBD every day. I stop drinking alcohol. I don't eat added sugar, all because of inflammation. But what does that mean?
What is inflammation, right?
Yeah. What is that?
Yeah. The simplest thing is swelling or a reaction inside the body.
Okay.
So let's go simple, right?
Yeah.
Swollen glands in the throat.
Mm-hmm.
That's an inflammation of your glands in your system. The red throat mucus, right?
Uh-huh.
So mainstream guy wakes up with that, goes and takes an anti-inflammatory.
Right.
Healthy living lifestyle person says themselves, I wonder why my throat got irritated in the first place.
Yes.
So we go a little before that, we peel back and say, wow, we're doing something to our system that wore down. Maybe we didn't sleep well. Maybe we haven't been under our regular exercise routine. Maybe we just travel. So knowing all that ahead of time was going to be the causation. We know how we can do that. Now, taking it to the next level is looking at the foods just on the chemistry side, right? We've got our triangle of health, but I look at on the chemical side, what chemistry would challenge our system to become more inflammatory? And all of the foods that I mentioned, if you're eating, and it's not to say, hey, stop and do a 180, it's okay if you're out there listening to this and you're currently living this, you're eating a lot of foods and packages that are simple sugar based, like any sandwich, the bread that it came in, okay, that is an inflammatory food.
Yeah.
All right. The starches, the rices, the simple sugars, everything that has added sugar in it, including fruit juices themselves that have their own natural sugar, those are slightly more inflammatory than, say, a Snapple iced tea. Mm-hmm. All right. These things increase inflammation. Now, at the cellular level, down to the nitty gritty of our body, if you could see a cell and look at its outer wall, when you have inflammation, it's a little it's crowded on that outer wall.
Mm-hmm.
There are things adhering to it in the form of breakdown, cellular. And so you hear these things about detoxification. That's somebody doing a 3-day or a week of cleansing out. I've been doing this now for 6 weeks to filter out my own body and watch inflammatory markers come down, and then measuring it to the science, not just in how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
So this is it's what we call the next level stuff, which is really right at the edge of this the cutting edge and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
So inflammation, if you look at a blood vessel and think of it as a straw, just imagine a straw being narrow at the middle and still trying to pull through. Then that straw gets a little nick, like if you've ever cut a straw by mistake when you're opening it and then tried to pull fluid through
worse.
It. Right, the worst. You got that little nick, right? You probably put your finger on it, ask the waiter or waitress for another one. But that is what happens to in the body, and the body naturally heals that nick with cholesterol. And so we're looking at all these things to say, okay, how do we cholesterol is a good thing, because that cholesterol goes to your brain, goes to your muscle, goes to your liver, and at the cellular level, you're making cholesterol, but you're also nicking the artery, and you're nicking the artery, and because your body's inflamed, so that's really what we're looking to reverse.
Got it.
The best level. So I hope I explained that out there.
No, I think you did. So we were circling back to what's inspiring us in health, but I made you explain that because I needed.
Yeah. Well, how about I had several practice members that ran the New York City Marathon, including yourself.
Yeah,
that was in November. Not even 3 weeks out from that. So
no.
We had one guy who's in his 60s that has run the marathon itself 27 times. He's run over 60 marathons in his life. That was an inspiration to me. He called me the Monday morning after, and he said, I just want to let you know, I decided on Thursday,
what?
That I'm going to run the marathon.
Fuck that guy.
Right. So I'll give a shout out
to
LL, are his initials. I can't broadcast his name.
Yeah.
Which was unbelievable.
That's amazing.
And, you know, that was an inspiration. And, you know, this city is an inspiration, hopefully this reaches beyond the Manhattan range in New York City. But
it does, definitely.
I thrive on the energy of this place. I was inspired this morning on my drive here because I like to say things were interfered.
Mm-hmm.
The ride to New York today was interfered. I live 90, you know, about it's 30 minutes away, but it took me 90 minutes to get here today.
Ridiculous. But you turned it into inspiration.
Yes.
So I'm going to ask you two more things. The second to last thing is, what's getting you fired up right now? Which is similar to inspiration, but not the same. Like, what's the thing that's like making you like feel like you're ready to go do it?
Yeah, you know, I'm 48. sounds old, but I think I'm a youthful 48.
48 is young.
Yeah, but you know,
48.
There's a little
I feel
gray
like
coming through.
It's true. Your skin looks great, though. I meant to tell you that.
Thank you. I'm fired up by the kids today. I think there's this little slow burn revolution happening. When I say kid, it's the 30 and under crowd. No.
And I don't fit into that. Yeah. I'm 33. I'm officially not a kid. You heard it here.
There's something kind of brewing out here. There's a culture shift happening to where, you know, while we're in this technological dream that we're living in, where we can put an audio out like this, and we can do so much on a thing in our hand that could get a rocket ship to the moon, this the computer we use in our hand today.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm inspired by the slowdown, by things that are people who are dialing back in, by cutting off the cord the way the cable company wouldn't want it, that the you're only watching things that you're interested in. Mm-hmm. That, you know, I'm inspired by the individualism of today's kids.
Yeah.
And that to me is lighting me up. I'm seeing in my own kids and what they're into and trying to learn through them.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of what I call staying my relevant, you know, not relevant to someone else, but relevant to things that make sense to me. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at that there is something brewing, and I don't have the pulse on that finger right on it yet.
Yeah.
You know? But I'm loving that there's a shift, because I see it in my practice alone here.
Mm-hmm.
Has shifted to a younger vibe. Yeah, we take care of everyone,
mm-hmm.
but the kids that are in here, they're evolved.
Mm-hmm.
There's a good revolution happening that I like.
It's true.
And that's lighting me up. That's getting me inspired. That makes me come here.
Yeah. Well, something that I'm going to carry with me for the rest of the day is what I said, or what you said when I got here about, what did you say? You said, what have you done that you weren't successful at?
Yes.
I like it, and I'm keeping that with me.
Yeah, can I give you some context on that?
Yeah, please.
You know, I asked in preparation for this audio, hey, how's it going so far? How many have you done? This is, I think, your seventh, right? So, lucky seven, and I said, how's it going? You said, oh, it's great. And I said, well, what have you done that you committed to that wasn't successful? So anything that, if it's the right thing, obviously, remember, you know, you got to, you know, one of the great stories is you got to get on the right bus, right?
Yeah, right.
You're on the right bus doing the thing. I think you were born to do this. I mean, you're part of that, you know, forget about the number I put on it, you know?
Yeah.
You're as hip as shit.
Woo!
As far as I'm concerned.
Well, thanks, Doc. Okay, this is the question that I close with. I ask everybody, are you ready for it?
Yeah.
It's a big one.
Okay.
You're about to order a pizza.
Mm.
What do you put on it?
So we're allowing me to have pizza.
You're allowed to have pizza in this scenario. I forgot. You're not eating that.
No, but in this
in this scenario,
New York City pizza is the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah. Say why it's better, because there are a lot of non-New Yorkers that listen to this, and they need to know.
You know, I guess you have your choice between Chicago and you've got your New York.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because I did live in South Florida for a minute. And
do I know that?
I don't know. In 1996. And they, like, I loved when I saw a place that said New York style pizza, I would laugh.
Yeah, because it's not.
It doesn't matter. It's just like they're at least paying homage to it.
Yeah.
I'm a straight up pizza guy, but if I'm going to one of those places that I've been told I have to get the mushroom, or I have to get fresh garlic and shrimp.
Garlic and shrimp on a pie. No one has ever said that. Yeah. Well, I've only asked like what, three other people.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard of shrimp on a pizza.
With the garlic though.
With the garlic.
It's like a scampi kind of style. No pesto on that, just straight up shrimp.
Red sauce?
Yeah, it's a regular pie.
Okay.
Okay, it's not a white pie. It's a regular pie with fresh garlic and shrimps.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, if you're a seafood eater, try this.
Because
if I ate that, it would sound good to me. All right. Well, this has been awesome.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Thanks for being here. And by here, I mean in your kitchen, in your office.
It's awesome. So we call it Kitchen Moment. It's the best room in the house.
Yes. I don't know if I said this on the podcast or not when I started this, because I don't remember, but you're the first person I've interviewed in real life. Everyone else has been on the phone. I feel like this was a success.
I love it. And I'm going to be broadcasting this to our entire world of listeners. So
yay.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. I'm going to link your information in the show notes so that you can find him. If you're in Manhattan or anywhere in the five boroughs, this is definitely where you want to be. His office is in Midtown, so you can access it from anywhere. All right, you guys, have a great week. I'll talk to you later. Bye.